Today's reading will be from 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 28. Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the God of peace, and we pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be felt for everyone this morning as we receive today's message. We pray for David as he preaches your word to us. We pray your hand to be over him as he speaks. We pray for clarity and wisdom to be spoken. We thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be our advocate and our guide to us. We pray that as we listen to David speak today, your spirit will be moving in each one of us. We pray for open ears and open hearts so that we can be able to listen to the Holy Spirit today. In your almighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hello, everyone. I love the game Risk. I don't know if you've played it, but you have a board like this, and it's all about trying to get your armies to spread over the entire world. And you know, at the time when the book of Thessalonians was written, this book that Ella's just read a little bit from, the Roman Empire looked like it was going to be the one that would spread across the whole world. But in fact, actually, empires come and go. And what we have seen in the last 2,000 years since that book was written is that actually it is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the words of books like 1 Thessalonians and other bits of the Bible that have been spreading across the world and even now are being read in churches and places all over the world. There's something about the good news of Jesus Christ that has meant that it has been unstoppable. In the face of wars and pandemics and persecution, nothing has been able to stop the move of God and the spread of the good news about Jesus Christ. So I wonder if you know why that is. How is it that it is spread and not being able to be stopped? Well, there is something that we see in the early church in the book of Acts, which is sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles, but it could be named the Acts of the Holy Spirit through his apostles, because God's Spirit is the one that has empowered people then after Jesus died and rose again and ascended into heaven. His Spirit was poured out, and there has been an amazing move of God's Spirit ever since then, touching people and lives and situations. And you and I need to know and remember again that there is no situation, no country, no person for whom it is too hard for God by his Spirit to bring transformation into that situation. Wow. That is good news. And it is one of the reasons why we've been looking at this series of Living Hope in the book of 1 Thessalonians. But as we come to the end of this book, we discover that there is something surprising. There is something which can quench the Spirit of God working in the church and in people's lives. Right, but that is something really serious if we are wanting to keep in step with God and his amazing work. So what is it that can quench God's Spirit? Well, we see in verse 19 in the passage that's just been read for us, it says this. It says, do not quench the Spirit, or do not put out the Spirit's fire. There is a real danger, a real risk that we can quench the Spirit. And as I've been preparing this, I've just been praying, Lord, please, may we not do that in any way. So how do we quench the Spirit? Well, there's a link that we see time and again in the Bible between God's Word and God's Spirit. And I want to give you just two bits of advice that are here in this passage to help us not quench God's Spirit. And the first is this: God is speaking, don't miss it. God is speaking, don't miss it. From verse 19, Paul goes on, and in verse 20, he says this. He says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, along with the Spirit of God and this amazing gift of God's power that he gives us. There is also the many different gifts that God gives us along with his Spirit. Gifts like the gift of bringing kind of prophetic words into situations to encourage or challenge people, words that are kind of divinely revealed from God, but actually come in very timely ways to speak into people's situations or into the life of the church. And it is amazing how God uses these to help people and to build up and edify his church. I know for me personally and for us as a church, God has used the prophetic gifts of different people, both outside and inside the church, to really help us over the years. I remember personally, there was a time when I was considering this role that I'm doing now of leading the team here at Holland Road. And I initially ruled myself out. I thought, no, I'm too young, too inexperienced. And I remember very clearly going to a conference. And after I'd sort of said to the team at the church that I was ruling myself out, someone tapped me on the shoulder, handed me a bit of paper, and on it, they didn't know me, they didn't know my situation, but it had a few things on that bit of paper, and one of them was this: don't rule yourself out. God doesn't rule you out. And you can imagine how that spoke into my life. Just that feeling that God knew my situation, and also that he didn't want me to just kind of step back, but to keep stepping forward into what he had for us. And around that same time, God used a pastor called John James, a pastor from Wales who we'd known for many years as a church, and he'd spoken at Holland Road a few times. He was due to come and speak around that time, and actually he couldn't because he was ill. And amazingly, he felt so compelled by the word he'd prepared to bring that he actually sent us his note saying, I just can't shake that this is something that's really important for Holland Road to hear. And the word that he then sent through to us, even though it wasn't kind of preached that day, as something that we've referred back to over the years, time and again, both as leaders, and I've shared it with the church a number of times over the years. But for those who may be new to the church, let me just read again a bit of what John James wrote to us then. He said this: the Lord has laid it on my heart that he purposes to make the disciples that constitute Holland Road Baptist Church to be instruments of phenomenal blessing from the hand of God. I believe the Lord's plans for blessing your community through you exceeds anything your church has ever known before. But if that is to be realized, you need to hear and heed the threefold call in Malachi's prophecy: the call to realize God's love, the call to return to God's standards, and the call to restore what you've stolen from God. And he went on to unpack some of those things and the importance of us knowing just how much God loves us and living a way that doesn't compromise with sin, but also being generous in how we use what God has given to us as we give back to him. You know, there's something so helpful about hearing those kind of prophetic words that God gives us. And God wants to speak to you and I in all kinds of ways. In fact, I believe that God is wanting to speak to you and I if we will just take time to listen. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his Spirit, whether it's using that prophetic gift or a word of knowledge or an interpretation of a tongue someone gives. And sometimes we can think, well, God won't want to do that through me. But I love this little testimony that Lisa Elborn shared with me of one time just shortly after she became a Christian, and I'll let her tell her story.
Once I was at a church, and there used to be a lady there who sang beautifully in tongues, and I'd never experienced that before in a church setting. And one evening she sang out, and I just felt God telling me, or someone, something, some feeling in me that what it was about. But I sat there in my seat and I thought, oh, I'm not sure if that's really true. The pastor asked for an interpretation. And I just was quite a new Christian at the time, and I was so unconfident and unsure. I just thought, oh, I'm not sure that I've really heard that. But then the pastor's wife said, oh, I believe it means this. And it was exactly the same thing that I had been told. And I felt a bit regretful that I hadn't said anything, but it was lovely to know that I had actually heard God speaking to me through his Spirit.
Isn't that great that actually God can speak to any of us at any time? Don't rule yourself out of hearing what God might want to say to others, even through you. You know, one of the things in these recent weeks that God has really been powerfully saying to us as elders, as we've sought him and sought to listen, is that he's just given this word to a number of us, and it's really resonated, of not hurrying about how we responded to the government's guidelines about the easing of lockdown, to not kind of hurry back to an old way of doing church. And he really has been speaking to us as well about that he wants to do a new thing in us to help us discover a new shape. And as we just took time to weigh and pray over that as elders, it really resonated with something we'd been reading in the book of Genesis that I know many of us have been reading through, and just that God's timings are perfect and we can trust him. And that was so helpful, as not long after we'd had that elders' morning of just pressing into God together, actually only an hour or so later, Boris Johnson announced some of the kind of easing of lockdown and how it would affect churches. So we've really sought to lean into that. When God speaks, it's important to follow what he says. It's like exercise. If God is saying something, you need to do it. If you if you don't use your muscles, you don't use them, you kind of lose them. And it's really important in life that when God speaks, we respond to what he's saying. So is God saying something to you? And do you need to do something because of that? And don't worry. You might think, well, I'm not sure if it's right. Well, that's one of the joys of being part of a body of Christ, is that Paul says it's important to test the things that God is saying. John Stott really helpfully says that we shouldn't neither reject God's sort of prophetic words that we hear, don't reject it outright, nor accept it outright. There's a weighing process that's really helpful and can give great freedom for us to share. I know that one of the things that has really helped us over the years is just being able to share things with one another and just be able to weigh that and know that when God is speaking, we can then come and bring that to the wider body. In fact, we've just taken time in this service to encourage a few of our elders to just be weighing some of the things that God's been saying to them and to people in the church. And then after this message, we're going to have some time to share one or two of those things after this message in our kind of time of worship. And if God is speaking to you, please do email through to the elders. We'd love to hear from you. And you know, one of the ways that, you know, we kind of grow in our faith is by using those kind of spiritual gifts that God has given us. But I want to come back to this warning. You know, God says, do not preach prophecies with contempt. And I want to say, if these are so good and wonderful and helpful, why do we do that? Why do we sometimes treat prophecies with contempt? And I want to suggest that there may be a couple of reasons why we do. And the first is this: cynicism. I mean, we're a very cynical culture, really, when it comes to believing that God can work in supernatural ways. And actually, one of the things that we've been singing about is this big God who can do amazing things. And I want to encourage you today to not let cynicism cause you to treat prophecies with contempt, but to be someone who won't limit God, either what he says he can do. And when you hear of something like that, John James's word, let's not be those who cynically say, oh, God can't do phenomenal things in our time and our generation. No, he's done them before. He can do them again. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Let's not be cynical. Let's not be cynical, not just about what God can do, but about who he might want to use to speak to us about that. You know, we can sometimes go, would God really say that to that person or to me? And yet actually God loves to use weak and ordinary vessels like you and I. In fact, those are the people who he particularly loves to use. So don't rule yourself out. Let's not be cynical. But then as well, I know sometimes we can be fearful. And because we're fearful, we treat prophecies with contempt. Maybe our fear comes from having had a bad experience of prophecy in the past. I know personally that's all too easy to think, oh, you know, I'm not sure whether I'm going to like what's said or even how it's said. And sometimes because of prophecies and the way they've been brought in the past, sometimes we can have a fear about how they're going to be come in the future. But I want to say that the Bible encourages time and again, don't be afraid. God is good. He wants to speak things that are going to build us up and help us, even if sometimes they're uncomfortable. And so I encourage us to keep pressing in as a church into the gift of the prophetic and how we can grow in learning and listening together. You know, one of the things that John Stott also helpfully says in his commentary is this. He writes and says, an authentic prophetic message will strengthen, encourage, comfort the hearers, edify the church, bring conviction of sin and awareness of God, and be conducive to peace and order, and above all, to love. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God is working in that way. So church, let us keep pressing into eagerly desiring spiritual gifts, as the Apostle Paul says, and especially, he writes, the gift of prophecy. So as we press into that, as we want to overcome cynicism and overcome fear, you know, how can we do that? Well, the Bible speaks about the importance of faith. Faith helps us overcome cynicism and it helps us overcome fear. And there's nothing that helps our faith more than meditating and reflecting and remembering who God is and what he's done. Remembering his word. Faith comes as we hear God's word, the Bible says. And so let's look at these wonderful two next verses in our passage. They say this: may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So here's the second thing I want to just say briefly today. God is faithful. Don't forget it. We've been singing about it, and songs are so helpful because they remind us of it. We've been having this wonderful memory verse, this wonderful kind of picture that God is faithful and he will do it. This God, who's the God of peace, the God of peace himself. I love that little phrase. Maybe you can relate to what Annie was saying in that video, that lockdown's been a hard time. And, you know, Jesus speaks a number of things about peace that just really came to mind as I was thinking about this faithful God. He says this. He says, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And in fact, he goes on and says in John 16, he says, in me you can have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. There is a peace that God is able to bring into our hearts that though we sometimes miss God's word or even get it wrong, yet God is so faithful to his word and he's going to keep working in our lives to do this wonderful thing of sanctifying us. That word sanctify is to make us whole, holy, ready for the return of Christ, which Paul has written about time and again in 1 Thessalonians. And we have a part in that, to cooperate with God's spirit and to obey his word. But ultimately, the sanctifying, the making holy of our lives and so that we're ready for when Jesus comes is ultimately God's work in us. That's the thrust of these two verses here, that he is faithful and he will do it. It's the good news of the gospel that is about what God has done for us rather than what we have done for him. My dad used to say to me, he said, don't build your life on your promises to God, but on his promises to you. God is so faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to give us the grace that we need in the past, in the present, and in the future. And Paul absolutely kind of wraps up this letter saying, guys, read this letter publicly. And then he says these wonderful words right at the end. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This grace that flows to us through Jesus, this grace that is the good news that Jesus died for us so that we could be forgiven and have hope. This good news that Peter, on that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, he stood up and, referring back to the book of Joel, he said, look, this is what's happening. God is pouring out his Spirit on the young and the old, and the young men are going to prophesy and the old men are going to dream dreams, and God is going to be working in people's lives. And then he spoke about the cross of Jesus, and people said, well, what should we do to be saved? How do we respond? And this is what Peter said. He said this. He said, I just need to turn to it here now. I think you've got it there on the screen. And he said, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. These gifts are not given just to a few special people. God has poured out his Spirit and the gifts of his Spirit upon his church, upon anyone who will repent and believe. And if you haven't been baptized, to be baptized, and then you will receive this amazing gift. So, folks, as we come towards the end, let's remember this unstoppable work of God that we were thinking about as we looked at that risk board right at the start. We can join God in his work. How? Well, by repenting, by making sure that there is no blockage, no way we're quenching God's Spirit. Don't miss what God is saying to you and to us. And then believe it. Believe he's able. Believe and be baptized if you haven't been baptized. And if you have today, live with belief that he is able. Don't live with cynicism or fear. And then receive. Receive the gift of his Spirit, maybe for the first time or maybe afresh, even today. And let's be listening to what then God wants to say to us. So I want to pause, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer that does just those things. But before I do that, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, come speak to our hearts. Come show us where we need to repent. Come help us live for you. The Holy Spirit is not confused by Zoom or the internet. He wants to come right now where you are and meet with you. Speak to you. So there's a prayer that's going to be on the screen that I would love to lead us in, that will just help us as we continue on in our worship and response. And encourage you, why not say this with me out loud, even where you are? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we repent from our sin, from where we have ignored your word and quenched your Spirit. We believe you are faithful and gracious. We believe you died for us and rose again and are coming back one day. And we receive the gift of your forgiveness and of your Spirit. Help us grow in listening to your voice and doing what you say. Amen. Amen. Dan's going to lead us in just some response now in worship. And then we're going to continue to listen and hear what God is saying to us as a church at this time.